Hello, can you guys hear me? Cool. Welcome. This is a repeat of the dive deeper into Outlook Mobile. So if you've heard it last on Tuesday, probably want to find some other session because it's the exact same information. My name is Victor. I'm a PM lead on Windows 10 Mobile, as well as desktop. And this is James. James owns Outlook for iOS and Android. So what we're going to do here is we're really going to give you a couple of slides, talk a little bit about the roadmap moving forward, but we're going to fill up this short 20-minute session with mostly demos. So you're going to spend a lot of time just looking at what we have actually on real-life code. Disclaimer, if things break, it's real-life code. So these are builds from probably yesterday and the day before on both of our devices. First off, this is a screen. If you've gone to any... Whoa, that's... A really weird display. It's not supposed to be blue and white. Basically, this is a slide that if you've gone to any of the Outlook sessions, you've probably seen the slide already. But we're really just trying to drill in the message during this conference that we're really trying to deliver the same set of functionality to every single client that has the Outlook name, whether it be desktop, whether it be on mobile, whether it be on Mac. And as you can see, we're really focusing on a set of features that we have upcoming, and then we'll go ahead and backfill some of the missing features that are already in some devices today, but not in others. You know, obviously, desktop Outlook has a lot more features than any of the other clients. We're only going to be porting over the features that do make sense on some of the other platforms, especially like mobile. So you don't expect to see macros on your phone. But we are trying to light up every single new feature that across all of our suite of Outlook clients. The ones we're going to be talking about here today, Focus Inbox, App Mentions, Cloudy Attachments, a lot of these have a more mobile focus. We're taking a lot of the cues from iOS and Android and are bringing it to all the other clients. You'll get to see a couple of new features today as well. But basically, we want to spend this next slide coming up here. James is going to talk a bit about our architecture and what's changing.
Great. Thanks, Victor. Hi, everybody. Just by show of hands, who here is using Outlook on iOS and Android? Awesome. Thank you so much. Why aren't all of you? Okay. This is probably the reason why, actually, if truth be told. So what we've been doing over the last year is we've actually migrated, and not only just migrated, but we've re-architected our back-end infrastructure to take us off of AWS and onto the Microsoft Cloud. This enables us to deliver the compliancy, regulatory compliancy, the privacy and the security that your users are demanding and your companies, especially in more highly regulated industries, are demanding. So we've been hard at work doing that for the last, I would say, 12 months. And that's a big sigh of relief for our customers, but it's also a big sigh of relief for our engineers because now they can get off of that type of work and really focus on delivering the types of features and functionality and the value that your users are actually looking for. What actually entails this move that we've gone over to the Microsoft Cloud, not only do we have the compliancy, but we've also got one aspect of the architecture that has been asked of us for a long time, which is around credentialing. And so this is all enabled through the stateless protocol translator and our OAuth authentication processes. We're not storing, and the client doesn't have any access or stored any passwords or usernames. It's all done directly with the mailbox of your Outlook Exchange online account in the mailbox in the cloud. So there we're actually meeting, again, all of the different requirements and regulatory necessities for supporting your users. And then with... That's really ugly, isn't it? Go for it, yeah. In the meantime, the other reason why we've done this as well is we've got between Outlook Mobile on iOS and Android, we've got this proprietary protocol that we're using that goes through the translator that converts to the REST API. Having that abstraction layer, and similarly on the Windows 10 version as well, we're able to move more quickly towards adding new features. Are we back? Adding new features as we accelerate the delivery of slides? No. Accelerate the delivery of these features to the phone. Victor, do you want to add a little comment about Hicks?
Yeah, sure. So similar to REST on Windows 10, again, we're trying to move off of EAS. EAS, as most of you guys know, has been developed and it's a really old protocol. It's used by the majority of mobile clients today. But the issue with that is we licensed it out. Tons of other manufacturers have taken a dependency on it. And so we're really unable to rev the protocol quickly for new features, like the ones that we were talking about before on that previous slide. Focus inbox, you know, things like at mentions. These are just not possible without actually updating the protocol itself. And that would literally take years to get any single change in there. It's taken us, what, I think, 2 years just to get up from EAS 14 to EAS 16. And I know of all of, you know, two manufacturers that actually support it right now. It would take a similar amount of time to enable any of these new features, whereas we are releasing new features literally on a weekly basis at this point. So it just can't move as fast. That's why we're moving to these new protocols. HX is, again, these are both O365 only. And so eventually we'll be enabling it for on-prem as well through our cloud cache, similar to the Android iOS architecture today. So we'll have that platform or that capability across all of our clients. And obviously you always still have the option to opt out of it for Win 10. Do you have anything else, or do you want to just dive into the demos?
Dive into the demos.
Okay, awesome.
Great, do you want to switch over to the demo?
Just.
Oh, you did that? Oh, you did
that
one.
Can't really do this.
Ah, old school. There we go.
Not quite as elegant, but it gets the job done.
Does the job. All right, so as you can appreciate, it's not coming up. There we go. Like I said, we put a lot of effort into security right off the bat. We've got Touch ID enabled on Outlook. So even if you put the phone down for a second and it's unlocked with the passcode, if anybody picks up your phone, and even if you just come over here and I can come around, go into this and come back again, it's going to prompt me for my Touch ID. So again, a lot of effort has been put into in terms of security, but now we're past that. We've had Touch ID in the product for quite some time. We are focusing more on the delivery, like I say, of these different features. So what we see here, hopefully, yes, what we see here is an inbox of a demo account just showing off some of these features. So I have different icons that are coming down here on the left-hand side. And really this is keying off of not just a cute little delighter, but what we have and what we understand is the average session length or the average time duration that somebody is using Outlook Mobile is 24 seconds. So nobody's going into Outlook Mobile and composing War and Peace or anything like that. People are going into Outlook Mobile to get stuff done. And invariably, whether it's on the email component or whether it's on the calendar component, our users are scanning down, looking to see, okay, what do I need to pay attention to right now? And that's where these icons really come into play. So here I can see here that I've got an invitation from Alan that's a Skype meeting that's tomorrow at 3 p.m. He's looking for, I've got a conflict there as well. So what you're seeing there is Outlook Mobile is looking at my calendar, understanding exactly what I have planned for that day, and it's letting me know so I don't have to go hunting around. So I can immediately say, okay, Alan, this is great. I'd love to have coffee with you, but I've got a no conflict, so I'm just going to accept that right off the bat. Now here with Alan, I've got the conflict with lunch, so I'm going to say, okay, let's make that tentative. So that's super, super important that our users can actually get in there and start getting things done. I mean, we have a lot of our users are looking for inbox zero. They work really hard towards that to give them that peace of mind and sense of control. And others just want to just whip through things really quickly. Now, the other thing that we've been working on here as well is if you've ever booked a flight or you bought something on Amazon, or you get lots of emails that are coming in from various service providers, and either they think that it's important or useful, or they're forced because of regulation to put a great deal of information and text in their emails that, quite frankly, users aren't really that interested in. Amazon doesn't do too bad of a job, but look at all this fine print down here. And what am I supposed to do with all of this? Well, really all I want to do is go in there and see if I can track the package. So what we're doing here on the back end is these emails are coming through our back end. We're extracting the relevant information and actions that are in that email and then presenting that information in a very easy, consumable form with this pretty card up here, but then also pulling out the actions that you can take as well. So again, in those 24 seconds, we're really looking to make you and your users as productive as possible, especially when it comes down to flights. Here we have a simple flight where we're going from London, an airport I know very well, and over to Prague. I can check in, which will take me over to the website where I can actually check in, or I can actually show the event itself. So here I can come in, and now I'm actually in the calendar app. So I haven't had to hunt around and peck around or anything like that. Here's the calendar event itself. There's the Heathrow Airport. I highly recommend Terminal 2. The seafood bar there is phenomenal. But more importantly, I can get stuff done. Now, here we are in the calendar app itself. I'm going to move to the agenda view. And again, you'll see more of these different icons that we're pulling in here. So I'm immediately alerted to the different types of meeting that I have. So I've got breakfast scheduled here. I've got a sales meeting that's face-to-face. I've got a call here that's being made with our French subsidiary. But you also see other icons coming in from other apps. So let's talk about that for a little while, because what we've got is interesting calendars. I myself am not a Michigan Wolverine fan, but
someone is.
But I like Alan, and I want to know what Alan's up to. So that's
exactly. That's guess Alan. You set it up.
So what is really cool about this is that we recognize in a lot of countries and a lot of companies that people within a BYD environment, we've only got one day. We've only got one life that we can actually spend and focusing on the things that we're doing in a personal or a professional environment. And so As you're trying to plan an integrated life and an integrated day, you need to understand what you've got going on, you know, before you get to work, what's going on after work. And so we're actually connecting various different calendars into the application so your users can better manage their entire life. And so we're connecting in with Facebook events so you can see, okay, can I have that dinner meeting this evening? Actually, no, I've got a Facebook event that I'm going to. So you can make these intelligent decisions right off the bat. I can see and track and can follow the various different events that I've got in my personal life with the Seattle Seahawks and other teams that I maybe support. Then the other piece that's really interesting here, I've got a Skype call at 1 p.m. with our subsidiary leads. And here, what we're really excited about is I tap on join. And there, I'm actually going into Skype for Business. The call is initiated. There's no audio in this meeting, but I can IM. And immediately, without just one tap, and I'm ready to go. So what we're finding, again, as unfortunately our days are very, very finely time-sliced. You're trying to get stuff done. You're trying to get into meetings. Then you've got Skype calls. As a lot of our users, a lot of your users and our customers are geographically distributed, these remote calls are being had more frequently, and you're trying to take them on the run. You haven't always got the time to sit down in a quiet space, in a conference room. You're actually in a convention like this, and you've got to take the call on your phone. You don't want to be hunting around for different apps. You don't want to be doing this manual dialing in. You want to be able to do it with a single tap, and that's now possible with Outlook Mobile. And I think, let's see, that's pretty much everything that I want to show from our current view. What I want to show is something that's coming a little bit further down the road. I'm going to go to our really live code. This is, so with Outlook Mobile, we're pushing code into our internal environments literally on an hour-by-hour basis. As soon as code is submitted by a dev, it appears on my phone, and I can start using it, and our testers can start using it to understand exactly the functionality that we're delivering. And what I wanted to show here is new features coming up. So I'm going to start a meeting. I'm going to create a meeting. It's breakfast. We've got the nice little egg sign there. That's great. I'm going to invite a few people. I'm going to invite Anne, and I'm going to invite Sarah. And what we're going to see here is as I tap on the day, the application itself is going into the background and we're checking the availability of those attendees, looking at their availability and bringing it back to the app so you can make an informed decision about when you should actually have that meeting. And so here we can say everyone's pretty much wide open here. Fantastic. We're going to do this. Let's do it on Monday morning. I can come over and then I can go into setting the time. And you can see that as we go here, whether I'm available or not, and it looks like Sarah is very available that day. I would like to have seen her turn red, but I think you get the idea that what we've done here is made it extremely intuitive and very quick for you to on the go set up a meeting or set up a call, because we can start we can set this as a Skype call on the go as well, and then get that action item off your list and move on your day. So we're super excited about that coming to Outlook Mobile in a phone near you very soon. And at that, I think I've covered most of the new highlights we've got coming up. If you want to grab me after this session, we can definitely answer your questions, go into maybe deeper aspects of the app that you're looking for. So I'll hand over to Victor. Changing.
Extended again.
Ah, got it. No worries. Thank you. So James has pretty much stole most of my thunder, because he's presented pretty much all the features that I was going to talk about. But again, we're just trying to highlight that. How many of you guys here actually have Windows 10 phones? No? A couple. Awesome. My people. We're just trying to show you that, hey, you're going to get the same exact features on the same... That display is not working, because it does not look like that. That's a... Let's try that again. Nope. Oh, great. Huh. Well, yeah, no, it's just an issue with the app. Okay, we'll see what we can do here. You're going to look at a very screwed up app. Yeah, let's try this. Nope. Okay. Sorry about this. I am just going to try to talk through it. Basically, it's similar to iOS, except for on Win 10, we're truly trying to still cater to the OS that you're developing on top of. So for things like the live tiles, as you can see here, kind of, we're making use of the OS capabilities that we have. You actually have a forward-looking three-meeting tile view for the calendar tile, and your traditional mail unread count for your mail tile. Going in, kind of like what James showed, we now have the focus other, which is, okay, this screen should be over here, this should be over here, so really, really weird.
It looks right here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely looks right on the phone. But similar to iOS, we're going to be bringing focus other onto your phone. Other things like the tailored experiences, where we have tiles for basically your tracking your packages as well as your flights, those are all here. So for example, here again, tracking your package, split screen, and you know, if you go back over the calendar, you get the same similar live tiles or tailored experience where you're able to see flight information, again, in that same format, same exact format that you saw on the iOS and Android. Similar to iOS and Android, we've also got scheduling assistant coming to your phone. How many of you guys are actually excited about that? You can actually schedule meetings from your phone now. And that looks pretty much the same. Again, we've tailored it to the Windows platform and the Windows UI, but let's say you want to add in, let's invite Garth here. And then we can go ahead and look at his free busy for Garth alongside your own. So you can see my meetings in green and Garth's in blue. You keep on adding people, you'll see everybody's free busy. And you can find your slot similar like on iOS, Android. App mentions are coming. I don't happen to have it on this build, but again, it's actually on my own personal device, because that build's a little bit earlier. But again, we're trying to land everything at the same time with a flavor of the OS and still feeling like it's part of the ecosystem that it's supposed to belong on. And I'm going to save you guys from any more headaches with the split screen. If you guys want to come up here, I would love to show you guys on the phone. But we're just going to flip back over to the slides because at least that is not split. And jump down here. What we want to do with this slide, and James is going to talk to it, but kind of give you excited about things moving forward.
One, two, is that, am I on, live? Yeah, great. So like I said, we've put an awful lot of work over the last 12 months in terms of building out the infrastructure and security, et cetera, but we've also been working on the new feature that have been rolling out. We've put a lot of effort into the calendar. Recurring events handling is gonna be rolling out in the next couple of weeks. Then shortly after that, we're gonna have forwarding events and being able to create recurring events. So that's coming out in the next few weeks. So we're super excited about that. But over the next quarter, what we're really focusing on are two different aspects of the app that needs a lot of TLC, quite frankly. The first one is how we're managing contacts and the people component of our app. Right now, we've got a lot of information and data in there, but it's not as useful as it could be. So we're diving deep into that component, and we're going to be putting a lot of work into that. And then the other aspect is search as well. Now, there are two different components of that. There's the performance of search. We're going to be working on improving the overall performance. And then there's also the user experience as well. In particular, on a mobile device, what is important is rather than being able to satisfy the needs of, you know, being able to support complex Boolean types of searches, the type of powerful searches you can do on Outlook Windows or on Outlook Mac, it's more about when I open up search, Outlook already knows what I'm looking for. What I mean by that is we understand who you're emailing with. We understand who you're having meetings with. We understand the relative priority of different emails that are coming into your inbox and the people that are associated and the relationships that are associated with that. So we're taking those signals, that data, and being able to go through your emails or your calendar and say, okay, this is probably what you're looking for right now. And our goal is to make that as accurate as possible. So as soon as you go into the search component, you immediately have the information, the data that you're looking for. And then, of course, if you are looking for something in particular, whether it's a piece of a word from an email, then you enter that into the search bar and ensuring that we've got a performant response so you can find, again, exactly what you're looking for as you need it. So those are the two different aspects that we're going to be focusing on as we move into the next quarter going out towards the end of the year. And then something else that we've been asked for, which is a more fundamental feature, is we're trying to bring greater and greater parity or coherence between the various different Outlook clients. So you have this one Outlook experience, is Draft Sync. So, and I fall victim to this as well. You'll be writing an email and you realize it's gonna take a little bit more thought than I anticipated, or I just haven't quite got the time to finish it right now. I wanna save it into my drafts folder. Well, we've got to make sure that that actually appears when you sit down at your desk, so it's in Outlook Desktop or in your Outlook Mac, so you can continue on and composing that email without having to do any funkiness around sending that draft to yourself and having to work around manually. So we're going to have that fixed in the next couple of months. And then the other part of it as well is cert-based authentication. That's something that we're testing right now. We'll be rolling that over the next few weeks as well. And then cloud attachments. Do you want to talk about cloud attachments a little bit?
All right, turning this back on. Cloud attachments, you guys know what it is. We're going to enable integration with OneDrive, Dropbox, Box, a couple other providers, allow you to save those large attachments. We find a lot of small businesses end up having these huge attachments, and it's sort of part of their process and their flow. We want to make sure that you don't have to boost your, email size limit up to 100 megs just so you can send these attachments. Also makes it easier to collaborate. We're doing a lot of good work with the Office team all up so you can co-author and co-edit your PowerPoint and your other documents. I'll get your questions afterwards. And that becomes a lot easier on shared drives. So
yeah, that's it. There's a lot more we could talk about, but just want to open it up for any questions. Any questions, anyone? Yeah?
Are you guys planning to open it through APIs or AppConfig or anything so other MDMs can configure and control the apps, like DLPs and other things?
We don't have any plans for that right now, but let's take that offline and maybe you can tell me a little bit about what you're trying to do and with what applications. That'd be great.
Yeah?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Are you going to allow control over which file sharing service is available to use right now? So, for example,
taking out the blocks. Yep. That's a question. So the question was basically, are we going to give you guys control over which file sharing services you can publish to the end user? Yes. Alan, who helps with the roadmap here, says yes, so it is yes.
I mean, so any question around proxy access to accounts? So delegate accounts and delegate calendars, things like that? Yes, we are looking at doing it. Shared calendars are the first thing that we're going to be looking at, and then delegate calendars, closely related. We're looking at doing that at some time, probably in Q1 of next year. For iOS and Android, we're looking at doing
it. So you want to go to the session here at Thursday, today, 3:35?
Yeah.
Julie's going to be talking to that. We're actually doing a lot of back-end changes around delegates and shared calendars to make it easier for you guys and actually a better experience all up. One, it's going to come to a lot of the mobile devices, actually all of our endpoints. But secondly, you know, for those of you guys who are using desktop Outlook, you have huge issues with when you try and access delegate mailboxes. You know, your OST blows up, your PSD blows up, everything blows up. We're changing the background architecture basically trying to eliminate a lot of those issues so you can instantly see other people's calendars, you can instantly see what's coming in. You have better control over basically what is coming into your mailbox versus theirs, and better in the sense of being able to set them up and say, hey, I'm sending it from my mailbox versus my delegate's mailbox. Go to that session. They have some really cool demos, and again, we'll be rolling that out to all of our clients pretty much in the next few months.
Yeah. Cool. Any other questions? Yeah.
Regarding meeting rooms and the resources.
Yeah.
For the meeting, because now you have the Skype for Business, which is pretty nice, activated in a couple of weeks ago.
Great. Right. For iOS and Android, we haven't got a hard plan to do that right now. We're kind of shifting our focus a little bit away from calendar and, like I say, more on search and people over the short term, relatively short term, 3 to 6 months. What we find is that is a requirement that comes in, or a request that comes in pretty frequently. But from our own analytics, we understand that people are engaging in the calendar component. They're very, very, very few people are actually going in there and being very sophisticated about the different meetings that they're trying to set up and thinking, am I going to have this room? Are we going to have a projector and all this kind of a thing? So we want to get to it. It's on our backlog. But to be honest with you, with all of the other things that we need to get to, it's a bit of it's a lower priority, to be quite honest with you. So we'll get to it eventually, but not in the short term.
Yep. And again, this is kind of reflective of the different types of audiences that the different platforms have kind of seek to address. A lot of the consumer-facing platforms like the iOS, Android, are really focused on the majority of the audience that they're trying to hit. Similarly, it's obviously there on OWA and desktop. We, again, some of the other platforms like Windows 10 Phone, which is used majorly by enterprise users, we are going to have that functionality in there sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So. Cool. Yeah.
You have a OWA mobile app right now and also an Outlook mobile app, and you also have a calendar standalone app as well. Are you thinking of actually reducing any of that into maybe one?
Yeah. Mobile O is going to be going away. We haven't got a hard date on that, but we're looking at the functionality that needs to be built out of Outlook Mobile, and at some point we will be end-of-lifing that. So our focus is 100% on for iOS and Android on Outlook Mobile.
And Sunrise, I believe, was...
Oh, the mobile, so you're referring to Sunrise? That's already end-of-lifed. We put an announcement out in August, I think it was. That app there's been no work on that app for about a year. We're keeping the service live for a little while. The service is shut down as well, right? So yeah, so that is no more. the functionality that that was existing in Sunrise, and even the UX and the UI to a great extent, has already been brought into Outlook Mobile. The team that we acquired with Sunrise, they're actually part of my team, and they're working on Outlook Mobile. So everything that you know and love about Sunrise is already to a large extent in Outlook Mobile, and a lot of the DNA is going to be in the product moving forward. Right. There, we can definitely go into more detail offline, but essentially what we've got there is these very complex. So when you take MAM and MDM, as we integrate the SDK into our application by necessity, so we can have control over the data and where it actually goes and the functions and features that are actually available to the users as dictated by the admin, it's basically got its fingers into all of the app. And it's a tremendous operation to actually get that integrated into our app working with Intune. We've done a fantastic job with that group and working very closely with them. But to do that again for AirWatch and MobileIron and all these other, we just won't do it. What we'd rather have a conversation about is what are we missing on the Intune side to make sure that you're able to support Outlook Mobile within the environment and the constraints that you maybe have within your corporate policies and also the regulatory environment within which you're operating. Let's see how we can make you effective using Intune. It's been fascinating at this conference listening to a number of different IT admins coming to us talking about how excited the users are around Outlook Mobile on iOS and Android. And now we need to get that into the hands of those users. And so again, let's have a conversation with the Intune team, make sure that we've got the features and functionalities you need, and make sure we can make your users happy using Outlook Mobile.
So I think we're 50 minutes over. We'll be going down to the conference floor, the expo. You can find us at the booth if you have more questions. Again, thank you for coming. Please rate us. We value your feedback.
Great. Thanks, everybody.